Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good as always, man. I got all wet yesterday, man, mowing a lawn. I was on a riding mower mowing a lawn. I got all wet. But I'm better today because I'm not outside in the rain. It did storm a little bit ago. But I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm great too because it's raining. It's good for my fruits outside.
It's very good for your fruits. Well, hey, today we are going to be on part five of a seven-part series going over the top NFL Steelers draft picks from every round. We've gone through seven all the way up through the fourth round. Today we're going to go over the third round. But before that, let's talk some Steelers news.
Yeah, man, let's talk this news.
First off, let's talk Steelers by the Lake news.
Yeah, we got a bunch more followers again this week. It was a great week. Give me that first line there, Cody.
Man, we got Virgil Kennedy, James Cooper, and Ricky McClellan. Thank you, guys.
And then also Paul Rader, Heather Baker, and Catherine Dahlkamper. Also, Catherine gave us a really nice review on Facebook. Really appreciate that. Maybe you should look into the nickname Cat. I feel like it would suit you well.
Cat Dahlkamper. Sounds good.
Yeah, the very reputable name.
Sounds very good.
Very.
Listen, we have some sad news. It does appear that the Hall of Fame game is more than likely going to be canceled. It's sad for the fact that we get one less Steelers game this year, but it's good for the fact that maybe they all don't get coronavirus or get sick or whatever. So we'll have to see what happens from there. Also, Cam Hayward has some news.
Yeah, he said that he feels like the Steelers need to do better against the run game, and I'm with him.
You don't say.
There were some games that they did pretty well against the run. I feel like a lot of games they did pretty well. But you could tell as the season went along, they really missed Stephon Tuitt because he is excellent at shedding that offensive lineman, maintaining his gaps, even getting penetration into the backfield and stopping people behind the line. You didn't get that with Tyson Alualu and Isaiah Bugs and Dan McCullers. They just kind of take up space, really. And Hargrave is a good penetrator, but again, he doesn't have that length that you have with Tuitt.
It's very true. You know what would help against losing players like Tuitt? Extending the practice squad.
Yeah.
That is a proposal that has gone in to extend the practice squad to 16 players due to the COVID-19 craziness that's going on, because you're going to have players go down, whether it be with sickness or injuries. And they want to have more guys at their disposal to throw back on the active roster and have them ready for the game.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I almost wouldn't be surprised if they expanded it past that even, just because realistically, it's not like this is going to go away before the season's over. COVID's going to be here. So it's how do you prepare for it? How do you react to it? If you expand the practice squad with the new rules this year of being able to bring up two people from the practice squad to the active 55-man roster for game day, and then it goes back down to 53 after, and you bring those guys right back to your practice squad. If you have two guys test positive on Friday, you can bring up two replacements.
Well, especially with we're probably going to lose the preseason games, which is normally where you find your practice squad guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it absolutely makes sense to expand that.
Yeah, and almost makes it a little bit less vital as far as the difference between your practice squad guys and your 53. You know, because if you're going to be calling people up every week to play anyway, and you're allowed two more guys on the active roster than normal this year as well. So that's that makes a big difference. So I'm very pro this because I don't think it'll be uncommon for teams to have two or maybe even more guys test positive every week.
Yeah, it's going to be rough to see how it goes on throughout the season. But we do want to take a moment and say a late happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers.
Happy Father's Day.
We are not fathers yet. We have dogs. We're dad dogs.
Did I tell you about the T-shirt my wife bought me, Cody?
I
got to brag real quick here. So, we've got a lot of dogs here. One of them, our newest addition to the family, is a Weimaraner. And Nikki found a T-shirt online somewhere that said, "Thank you for being my daddy and putting up with my mom." It had a picture of a Weimaraner on it.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's such a – I wore the whole thing.
You ever get to know James and Nikki, it's a fitting shirt.
we got a few dogs.
Just a couple. But speaking of Father's Day, Big Ben was seen with a picture on Twitter, and he is looking in great shape.
Holy crap, man. I wish I was as lean as this dude.
It looks like he might be skipping leg day, but other than that,
well, I mean, he is.
It could have been the angle. That's what we're gonna say. But he looks fit as a fiddle. I'm not questioning his conditioning at
Absolutely
this point.
Absolutely not. Yeah, he had a little golf outing with his oldest son, it looked like. And he had his polo shirt tucked into his shorts, which is very unforgiving. If you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about. When your shirt is tucked into your pants or shorts or whatever, if you got any kind of belly going on at all, it is very easy to see that. And it was just flat down, man. Very impressive. And honestly, his calves look like he's running a lot, too. So I'm pretty impressed with him on that.
Yeah, so Adam Schefter also is reporting that 16 NFL teams have players that have tested positive for COVID. Tomlin actually already said that two were tested positive back in the spring and have since been cleared and are already practicing again. So that's good.
Yeah.
But that's half the league right there that already has teams or players testing positive. So
yeah, it's part of me really kind of wishes that I knew who it was, just because I'd be a little bit more at ease that those guys wouldn't have to deal with it in the future. But for all I know, it's like the backup punter in the third string long snapper. It's nobody that's going to make the team anyway. That is just something to look into. And some news from Tomlin today on who to expect at starting left guard and starting nose tackle.
Tell me.
He says Filer's getting first snaps at left guard and Tyson Alualu first snaps at nose tackle. So those guys will have the inside track on winning those jobs.
That is very interesting.
Which then, of course, shows you right out the gate that they're going to do everything they can to give both Zach Banner and Jaquama Okorah for that opportunity to win the right tackle job.
Yep.
So this is good. When you brought in Stefan Wisniewski, the whole idea was to have a high-level backup at center and guard. You didn't want to start him at guard if you could avoid it. Not that he can't do it. He can. He's a quality player that can start. But the idea is to have somebody of a little bit higher caliber than that, and that's what you've got with Matt Filer. He can dominate at guard, and then you've got the rookie there as well. So you got the third round pick, you got Filer, you got Wisniewski. Now you're starting to round out some good depth again before you even officially know who the starters are.
Yeah, that's great news for Pittsburgh's offensive line, as we took a big hit this last season with the loss of Foster, and then moving forward.
Then Finney too.
Yeah,
Finney was the top backup interior wise, and he's gone too. So you really need to see some development out of the young guys. You need to see Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner both play well this year. And the preseason's important for them, which is why it stinks that it looks like you're probably going to lose half of those games. You really need to see Okorafor take that next step, because after this season, you know, Villanueva's contract's up, Banner's contract's up,
Pouncey?
Filer's contract's up. Pouncey's got
two
more?
Okay.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left.
Good.
But there's three of your top eight guys right there. Their contracts are up.
Yeah.
So you got to come up with a plan, and some of these young guys have to develop. Otherwise, you're going to be in a bad situation in the future. The NFL's AFC North All-Decade team was released.
If you don't know, which I hope you do if you're listening to a Steelers podcast, the AFC North is our division that consists of the Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, and us, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
The All-Decade team boded well for the Steelers, I would say.
You ain't kidding. What
we
was
had we had like Big Ben at quarterback.
Of course.
Of course. You can't deny that.
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell at running back, even though he probably also made the AFC AFC East team. No, I'm just kidding. AFC
not,
East All-Decade team.
Not how he played last year.
Wide receiver, they obviously put AB, even though that was a mess afterwards. But he played well when he was with us. I can't deny that.
Yeah, he had like 800 yards in that time frame. So.
Yeah. We had DeCastro at guard.
Yep, and then Pouncey at center, which both those make sense. They're in the Pro Bowl dang near every year.
Yep.
All pros dang near every year. Heath Miller made it at tight end.
Heath!
Heck yeah, man. Heath was a legend in Pittsburgh. And I think he had a couple Pro Bowls over his career, too.
He did.
We'll find that out in a couple weeks, right?
We will.
When we do first-round picks.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, he'll be on that list.
Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward on defensive end made it.
Killer Cam.
Inside linebacker, Lawrence Timmons
My
on this
boy.
List.
Lawrence Timmons, man.
He doesn't get enough love because I remember correctly, he's what sealed the deal for us in that Super Bowl against the Arizona Cardinals when he caused a forced fumble on Kurt Warner. No one remembers that. They just remember the catch in the back corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
by Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, Timmons was the man. He was awesome. Every year he put up a ton of tackles. It wasn't until later on in his career that he started getting some credit and getting into the Pro Bowl. But well-deserved vote there for him. Also, James Harrison.
Duh.
You can't miss him, man. I mean, the Steelers' all-time sack leader. And he put up year after year Pro Bowl for performances as well. Then a couple guys in the secondary, Joe Hayden and
Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
Can't argue Troy Polamalu.
That's a given, right?
And even Joe Hayden. I mean, even when he wasn't with Pittsburgh, he was on the Browns. So he was in the division his entire career so far.
And I think he got a couple Pro Bowls while he was with the Browns. He
absolutely.
One last year with Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
He's probably got at least three of them under his belt by now. So obviously those are good choices as well. So really, really strong showing for Pittsburgh. That's most of the positions being covered there. So very, very impressive. I just want to remind you folks, don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button this week. We've seen a large number of people going back and listening to old episodes, which is awesome. We really appreciate it. If you hit that subscribe or follow button, it'll automatically download for you. It makes it a lot easier for you. A
lot easier. Now it's time, guys. We're going to go over the third round, the best third round picks that we feel are notable, which they are. and we have a fun list today, and I'm excited to see who we have in our top fives and see how they compare. So let's start it off with 2019.
Yeah, man.
It's a little soon to say great career, but we're going to do it anyway.
You know what? I think it was a great pick because absolutely nobody saw this young man coming out of Toledo, right?
Nope.
Deontay Johnson, when he got selected in the third round last year, people said, Deontay who?
And I said Deontay Johnson.
what are you doing? What are you doing with this guy?
Nobody knew who he was.
No one.
No one.
No one. Who's this small school guy? He's the guy that led the entire NFL rookies in receptions. That's who he is. 59 receptions his rookie year. Beat all those first-round picks. Beat all those second-round picks. And everybody selected after him, too. Pretty impressive year from him. And I can't say enough about how excited I am to see more from him. He even had a punt return for a touchdown.
He did, and it was an impressive punt. It's not one of those ones that you see them not get touched, or like maybe he didn't get touched, but he had to make his way.
Shaking and baking, juking and jiving. He's all over. I love it.
Oh, man. Let's go back to 2017.
Not that
James
long
Conner.
Ago. Man, he's already got a Pro Bowl.
Hometown boy. We're recording here in the lovely city of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Erie's own James Conner. He got a Pro Bowl already, his second year in the league.
He has 1,500 yards rushing right now, 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's averaging 4.4 yards a carry. That's phenomenal.
Healthy. That's healthy, man.
Other than that, I mean,
and 89 catches, 748 yards, and four tutties, man. I mean, that's
something.
Impressive.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, I mean, if he had three healthy seasons, you multiply that out, and you're talking some amazing numbers. I'm really excited to see what he does this year. But you can't really leave him off a list like this when he's only been in the league 3 years and he's already got a Pro Bowl under his belt.
Very true. Next guy, 2016.
Javon Hargrave, Jay Wobble. It was sad to see him go this last year. He was a valuable member of that defensive line. And again, when you take a guy in the third round, you're hoping for a decent starter. He proved to be a lot more than that last year. I think he was 5.5 or 6 sacks, which is impressive from the nose tackle position. But when Tuitt went down, he stepped right in, and they really didn't miss too much with him.
No, they didn't. He had 52 starts in his career so far out of, what, 63 games?
Yeah, 63 games. He's got 14.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery, and a defensive touchdown, too. Might say he wobbled on in.
I'll take it.
Oh, man, next guy's coming from 2010. I think this was a slightly miss in the fact that we didn't keep him.
Yeah.
But Emmanuel Sanders.
Can't keep them all, though, right?
Nope. Emmanuel Sanders already has 2 Pro Bowls in his – well, I shouldn't say already. 2 Pro Bowls in his career. He won a Super Bowl while he was with Denver, obviously when he had Peyton Manning. 601 receptions, 7,893 yards, 42 touchdowns. Phenomenal player. Had an awesome career. And he's not done yet. He was in the Super Bowl last year with San Francisco. Didn't win because Kansas City is Kansas City.
Yeah.
Wow. Emmanuel Sanders has a great career. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, again, in the third round, do you expect to catch somebody with that kind of career? No, you really don't. And the only reason that he didn't have a greater career in Pittsburgh is because this diamond in the rough, and Antonio Brown was selected the very same year in the sixth round.
It's disgusting to think that we had them on the team at the same time.
And Mike Wallace, because the next year in 2009 was when they took Mike Wallace in the third round. So you had Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, and Antonio Brown, and this was, well, you still had Hines Ward.
Yep. Crazy.
This was near the end of Santonio Holmes, too. I mean, like, holy cow, this receiver core was
could have been phenomenal stacked. had we been able to keep them. Had AB not gone crazy? Like, I don't know.
You can only keep so many. I mean, if you remember, so Mike Wallace won Pro Bowl, 538 catches in his career, which is more than I thought. He had a lot of them after he left Pittsburgh. 8,072 yards and 57 touchdowns. But if you remember correctly, his final year with Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh offered him a contract first, and he turned it down.
Yeah.
And then that contract went to Antonio Brown. Signed it real quickly.
He wanted the money.
He jumped all over it, man. Well, he was a six-round pick. He was probably making $300,000 a year.
That's true. That's still a lot of money.
All of a sudden, he was making like $8 million a year.
Yeah, but can't complain about what we – I mean, those two, Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders, were phenomenal wide receivers, taken 2009, 2010. That's two good years of drafting wide receivers in the third round. We also drafted a cornerback, Keenan Lewis, in 2009.
Yeah, and I'm curious. I wonder if you could look this up while I'm talking on Keenan Lewis here for me. In the Steelers' all-time receptions, I wonder if both Santonio Holmes – I'm sorry, not Santonio Holmes, but Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace aren't like top 10 in receptions and yards. I bet you they're up there. But the same year they selected Mike Wallace, which was 2009, you saw the selection of Keenan Lewis in the third round, who was actually a solid starter at the cornerback position for Pittsburgh. Was 7 years in the league after his rookie contract was up. Pittsburgh opted not to re-sign him. They let him go to free agency. They re-signed Cortez Allen, who also played the position, had a really stellar end of his year the year before. And they kind of counted on the upswing of Cortez Allen, which never panned out. And then Keenan Lewis started a few years in New Orleans, ended up with 7 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, and 53 pass breakups in his career. Had a solid career over those 7 years.
Listen, you asked about Mike Wallace and Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, what'd you find?
Mike Wallace, 13 all-time, and Santonio Holmes tied for 13th all-time. They both had exactly 235 receptions with the Steelers.
Where was Mike Wallace on that?
Mike Wallace was 13th, and Holmes was 13th, tied. 235
Sanders,
receptions.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders is not on this list.
Really?
Not in the top 20.
Because most of his catches are after Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very interesting. But if we go to 2004, the next year down, Max Starks, offensive tackle. This guy was 6'8", 345 pounds.
That's a lot of burgers.
That's a big – I just remember always using him in Madden. I'm like, this guy's big. This guy's huge.
Yeah, he was a very reliable offensive tackle. He started off as a right tackle for Pittsburgh, scooted over to the left-hand side, and was a pretty dominant left tackle for a number of years. He had 96 starts and 125 career games and was on both Super Bowl-winning teams, both 40 and 43.
Listen, I heard that he had a contract dispute at one point.
He did. You know, it was near the end of his career. He was doing those one-year deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the 1 year this Pittsburgh hadn't signed him yet. Ben Roethlisberger was drafted same year as Max Stark. They were obviously friends because Max kept him from getting dumped on his backside time and time again. You have a habit of appreciating people who keep you upright, you know? And that training camp, I'll never forget it. Ben wore the number 78 in honor of his friend Max Starks every day in training camp until they signed him.
That's called a power move. It's called flexing on the coaching staff a little bit, office.
That's also kind of how we ended up with Ryan Switzer on the team last year, though.
It's very true. Very true.
Little different scenario. I think Starks is a little better player. But very fun to see how. Back then, it was not uncommon for a guy to start off at a right tackle and then scoot over to left and then become your dominant left tackle for years. And Max was one that made that transition pretty easily.
Next guy, we go back to 2002. Chris Hope, safety. He had one Pro Bowl. He was obviously in the one Super Bowl that we won. He had 20 career interceptions, 50 pass defended, 4 forced fumbles, 8 fumble recoveries. He played 11 years. And he was phenomenal. He also had one amazing fake punt for an 81-yard touchdown. Man. James loves this.
As we were prepping for the show, I said, Cody, hey, look up his offensive stats.
He had one stat, and it was an 81-yard touchdown.
81-yard touchdown on a fake punt, man. It was cool. I'll never forget that. That was a really fun play because he started running. And you never know what you're going to get out of a defensive player when they're running with the ball. He clearly must have played some running back in high school, man, because he had moves and he got into the open field and look out.
Yeah, James, and after we talked about this, I went digging online and I found the play. So let's share the audio real quick for you guys. Man, that was a phenomenal play. If you haven't seen this, look for a link later on our Facebook page. We're going to share that later for sure. We got to make sure that gem gets seen again.
Yeah, man, that thing deserves to be seen more than once more, that's for sure. But what a fun play and a nice part of Steelers history. Speaking of Steelers history, the 3 years previous to that, 1999, they selected Joey Porter.
Joey Porter, you mean the phenomenal sack man?
That's the one. They shot me in Denver, that Joey Porter.
Man, he loved to be the villain. He absolutely loved it.
No doubt about that, for sure. But he loved to sack the quarterback, man, enough that he got into four Pro Bowls, had one Super Bowl win, one All-Pro vote, 689 tackles in his career, 98 sacks in his career, 12 picks. 25 forced fumbles.
25.
10 fumble recoveries. 3 defensive touchdowns.
Dude was an animal.
Just a monster.
I just remember him always coming out with his shirt all tucked up under his pads to show off how ripped he was, and he just messed with the other team before the game.
You know what I'll never forget about Joey Porter is before one Browns game, and they actually changed rules because of this. Before the game, sometimes you'd get a little John at midfield, right? The pregame warm-ups, the stretches, and they're walking through the practice and whatever. The starting fullback for the Browns was running his mouth to Joey Porter, and Joey popped him before the game. got kicked out of the game, missed the whole thing, and James Harrison got his first start that day.
That's where it all started for James Harrison.
That was it.
Listen, Joey is the second player on this list to change a rule, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
In 1998, we drafted the one, the only, Hines Ward.
From Georgia, he was a gadget guy, right? This guy reminded Pittsburgh of Cordell Stewart, right? Because he played quarterback, he played wide receiver, he played running back. He did a little bit of everything. They figured, you know, hey, best case scenario, we get another Cordell Stewart, maybe get a Pro Bowl or, you know, some decent play out of him. Instead, they got amazing play out of him with 4 Pro Bowls over his career. 2 Super Bowl wins, 1,000 catches, 12,083 yards, 85 touchdown catches, 57 carries for 428 yards with a 7.5 yards per carry average. And he leads the team in all-time history. In what categories, Cody?
He leads in receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. Holy absolute
cow.
Monster. Listen, this guy was my mom's favorite player growing up. I remember growing up with watching games with her, and she loved him because he was probably one of the hardest-hitting players on the team, known for his blocking, broke a linebacker's jaw for the Cincinnati Bengals, Keith Rivers.
Keith Rivers, yeah.
And
that was a rule change, too.
And you know what? He was always smiling.
He was. But you got to give him credit, man. When he laid people out, I'll never forget, he laid out Ed Reed in the game.
And
one
he
time.
Immediately was like, come help him, but I got to keep playing.
Yeah, he immediately called for the medical staff of Baltimore to come over and help him out because he knew he was out cold.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's our second guy on the list with a rule change because of him.
Oh, you're right. So there's 3 on this list.
Wow, some serious history.
Yeah, because that was the cutback blocks, right?
Yeah, the crackbacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
you weren't
man.
Allowed to do that anymore after that because some guys couldn't take it when a wide receiver hit him.
He got a broken jaw. You got to give him that.
All right.
It's not like he just kind of knocked him out. He got a broken jaw.
Yeah, okay, all right, and kind of ended his career.
That's true. That's true. I didn't hear much from him after that.
No, no, he was pretty much done. Somebody else that you maybe didn't hear from as much, unless you watched the team in the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm a little older than Cody, as some of you know.
Just a little bit.
The other ones, just imagine we're the same age. We're both in our 20s. Brendan Stye was selected in the third round in 1995. 6'4", 312 pounds. He started at guard 96 times out of 105 games that he played. Had a very reliable, very solid career. I remember him being a real big, thick bruiser. He didn't get any Pro Bowls or anything like that, but that many starts over that kind of career really was a solid career with Pittsburgh. Honestly, probably would have benefited them if he would have stuck around a few more years, but as is the way it goes, you know, you get that four-year rookie deal, and then after that, if the team can't afford to keep you, you're gone.
Yeah, that's true. Next guy on the list, 1994, Bam Morris.
Yeah.
Bam Morris, running back, 6 foot, 244 pounds. That is a big running back. That's a huge running back. 974 career carries, 3,809 yards, average 3.9 a carry, 35 touchdowns. Phenomenal.
Yeah, he stomped onto the scene his rookie year with 836 yards and 7 touchdowns. Really a very bruising style running back. Very similar to how you used to see Jerome Bettis run the ball, honestly. But unfortunately, Bam Morris couldn't keep himself out of legal trouble and was not with the Steelers for very long. But he was a very good player in that short time that he was with Pittsburgh. The next guy, a little bit better than that, though. A
little bit. Jason Gilden, drafted the same year, 1994. Linebacker, three-time All-Pro, three Pro Bowl, excuse me, one-time All-Pro, 80 sacks in his career. That's phenomenal.
77 with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's number two all-time on the Steelers sacks list. Three fumble recoveries returned for touchdowns, 15 forced fumbles, 11 recoveries, and 2 interceptions. Phenomenal career with Jason Gilden. Jason Gilden was, I think, the first linebacker that I remember seeing play for Pittsburgh growing up. Was easily the first one I remember seeing the name and remembering it, hearing the you know, Cope talk about him, like the announcer. That's the first one I remember, like, for sure hearing.
And he was 92 before Harrison was 92.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was the history. That's why that was an appealing number for James Harrison, because Jason Gilden had just broke the Steelers' all-time sack record. I mean, that's no small feat. And then who comes and does it? The next 92.
That's very true. So now we're looking for our next 92, is what you're saying.
Hola, Danny.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. We will have to see.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be him. But
next guy was drafted my birth year, 1992.
Jesus, Tony, how young is this guy? So Joel Steed was a nose tackle. He had one Pro Bowl selection in his career. 6'2", 300 pounds, which was pretty stout back in 92. Had 103 starts out of 115 games. So very solid, reliable starter. 4 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, 4 yards on those recoveries. And 9.5 sacks, which isn't a ton. But again, he was a nose tackle back then. You didn't get to the quarterback if you were a nose tackle. So you didn't exactly expect that statistic from a nose tackle, but he was a very solid, reliable player.
Yeah, then we have a big gap here. We have about 10-year gap. Next guy's 1982 draft, Mike Merriweather, linebacker. The guy was a three-time Pro Bowler. He had 139 starts in 149 games, 18 career interceptions, 41 sacks. That's pretty solid back then, especially. You didn't have linebackers getting as much, or they weren't even recording them half the time.
Yeah.
4 defensive touchdowns. He had 0 forced fumbles, but get this, 16 fumble recoveries.
That's insane.
I think he just waited and watched everyone else make the tackle just to see if the ball came out.
You know, like, some guys are just always around the ball and you get rewarded because of it. You know, there's always that super, super athlete that just barely beats you every time. But if you're the second man there every time, you get to clean up after him. And I think that's kind of the way that was with Mike Merriweather, is that he was a very, very good athlete. He had a very good career. And just, he didn't quit. You don't get that many fumble recoveries if you quit on plays. So clearly the motor was amazing on this guy. Always got to the ball, put together a solid career. But the guy previous to him, another large gap, 1970, Mel Blount.
The Hall of Famer?
That's the very same one. In 1970, he was 6'3", 205 pounds. So imagine a Richard Sherman-sized guy, but physical, playing in the 70s when 190 pounds was a big receiver.
And pass interference didn't exist at the time.
No. So this is guy number three on this list today of rule changes. They're all third-round picks. Mel Blunt is the reason we have pass interference because he was so much more physical and stronger than everybody he played against. He just beat him up the whole way down the field. So they instituted pass interference where you couldn't touch a receiver after 5 yards down the field, and he had more interceptions after pass interference was created than he did before. So he proved to the league that he was more than just a brute out there, but an amazing shut down corner in the definition of it in the early years.
He had 57 career interceptions. I can only imagine if he was focused more on catching the ball than beating them, beating people up, how many more he'd have.
Yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame, 4 Super Bowls, 5 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pros, 189 starts in 200 games. That's a long career with very high production.
Very high. Next guy we go down to is 1969. Last guy on the list, John Kolb.
Yeah, he was the starting left tackle for Pittsburgh during the 70s teams. A very solid player. You saw him a lot doing his back pedal in those plays where you see Terry Bradshaw doing like a 7-step drop. And Kolb's dropping back with him, pumping his arms backwards, with veins popping out his arms. He's a big, strong guy. He was a very reliable offensive lineman. So I couldn't leave him off the list because he had a very solid career. 138 starts on 177 games. Played 13 years in the NFL, was on all 4 of those Super Bowl teams.
Phenomenal career for you, sir. All right, you know what that means. We're done with the list. Time for our top 5. And I'll start it off. We going to number 5 first, baby?
Yeah, let's go 5, just like normal.
Number 5 on my list is Emmanuel Sanders. I realize his career wasn't the longest with Pittsburgh, but 1 Super Bowl champion, 2-time Pro Bowl, had phenomenal yards and an average yards per catch, 42 touchdowns. He is number 5 on my list.
You know, I also had Emmanuel Sanders, but I had a very long deliberation for myself between him and Mike Wallace, because Mike Wallace had a lot more touchdowns and a higher yards per carry average, but I do feel that Emmanuel Sanders was the better receiver of the two. So I also put Emmanuel Sanders number 5 all-time third-round pick.
We're 1-for-1 so far.
Yeah.
All right, give me your number 4.
Number 4, Jason Gilden. Really, Jason was an amazing player. Set the all-time Steelers sack record. And again, they didn't keep sacks as a statistic back in the 70s. So we don't know how many Mean Joe Green had or L.C. Greenwood or any of those guys that really did get to the quarterback a lot. Probably a few of them had more than 100. But he hit 77 in his career and set the benchmark as what was expected for a Pittsburgh Steelers outside linebacker.
Listen, we're 2-for-2 because I also had Jason Gilden at my number 4. Can't argue with anything you said. Jason Gilden, phenomenal career. Again, I think I have a soft spot for him just because he was the first name I remember. So hearing when it came to Pittsburgh Steelers. So my number 3.
Here's where it's going to change, I think.
I think so. We'll have to wait and see. We're going to I'm going to stick with linebackers. I'm going to go Joey Porter. Oh, no.
Maybe it won't change.
Oh, no. Joey Porter is my number 3, 4-time Pro Bowler. He was obviously a Super Bowl champ. Just a villain out there on the field and loved every second of it. The 98 sacks, 12 interceptions, 25 forced fumbles. I can't argue with that. Joey Porter, phenomenal career. Then went off to play with Miami as well. I think he actually had his best career season of sacks with Miami. Phenomenal player. Miss seeing him. Love the guy. Joey Porter, number 4.
Yeah.
Or 3, excuse me.
I also had him at number 3, so no surprise there to me. You said he loved being a villain. You remember that game against the Bengals?
Oh, yeah, I do.
So he was on the coaching staff, and Antonio Brown had gotten knocked out with a cheap shot from Vontaze Burfict. He comes out to check and see if he's okay and ends up getting the other players agitated enough that he draws an additional 15-yard penalty. Pittsburgh ends up winning the game off of 30 yards of penalties and then scoring on the subsequent drive there within the last couple plays of the game. So you are absolutely right. He loved being the villain. He loved getting to the quarterback, and he was very good at it, man.
Oh, man. All right. Here we go. Number 2. Who's your number 2?
Well, I couldn't do it any other way. But Hines Ward, man, Hines had an amazing career with Pittsburgh, leading the team history in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. It was just Mr. Consistency, you know? I don't know that ever there was a year that the whole league said, wow, Hines is the best receiver in the league. But he was always one of those top five, top ten receivers in the league, always putting together 100-yard seasons and 1,000-yard seasons, Mr. Consistency, and that's how you end up with that amazing of a career. Number two best all-time third-round pick, in my opinion. How about you?
Hines Ward is also my number two, you cheating little dog.
Will you look at my answers?
Listen, one of the funniest things that I loved about Hines Ward was I always watched him make catches whenever he thought he was going to get hit, and he did this little jump thing where he jumped up with both feet in the air and knees to his chest almost and make sure he had the ball tight if he was going to get hit. He was the word defined when it comes to possession catcher. He was always making the catches on third down, getting us first downs. Phenomenal player. And I know already your number one is Mel Blount, because my number one is Mel Blount, the Hall of Famer. Can't argue with it. Five-time Pro Bowler, 57 interceptions. The fact that he has an entire rule that is still getting revamped to this day with pass interference made because of him, got to give it to Mel Blount.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Again, it's a Hall of Famer at the top of our list. This is the first time this happened to us, Cody. Every other time we've had differences in our top fives. This time it matched the whole way through, and I'm kind of surprised.
Listen, thanks for listening to Steelers by the Lake, where we have Tom Brady on the show. He's cheating. Whatever, James. That's a good five. It's a good top five.
I don't see any spots.
No, get out. It's a good top five. It is.
Very solid, no doubt. And it's going to get tougher every week. I mean, we got the second round next week and the first round following. I don't know how we're going to do that first round. That's going to be tough.
It's going to be fun, for sure. You guys make sure to come back and listen next week. We will be recording, as always, every week. And we'll finish this off. And then if you guys have any ideas on what you want to hear us talk about, shoot us a message on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. We're on all those social media platforms. Email us at SteelersByLake@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Love to talk about the things you want to talk about. Give us those 5-star reviews as well. But thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said, like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Steelers by the Lake. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.